welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. I'm very, very, very grateful to have Mike Briarcliffe here with me today. And he's one of the founding partners of Influential Visions podcast. And he's a computing veteran with over 40 years working experience. And it's an interesting time right now. We're both stuck. We can't go to the office and meet, or we can't even meet for a glass of wine. So it's a very tough time right now. And hence why we're doing lots of podcasts, right? So it's lovely to see you, Mike.
Hi, Nat. Good to see you.
And so in this time of global crisis, do you think social media will find its next level of maturity?
Interesting question. I think it is doing. I think there are people looking at it, the whole scene, in a different light. Many people have been critical of social media, and my view of what they say, and my response to them. In fact, just this morning, I was moderating a group, and I gave this response. It's a medium. What goes on it can be good. What goes on it can be bad. If you've got a bad experience, it's not the fault of the medium. It's to do with the idiots that are using it for bad purposes. And that comment went down quite well on the community that I was moderating. I think there's so much happening today that could not happen if social media, as we now know it, or as we now label it, if it didn't exist. None of what's happening in terms of communication at a person-to-person level, at a one-to-many level, at a many-to-many level, at a globe-to-globe level, none of that could be happening. And let's not forget, this is not a new this is not really a new thing. It's been going for, bulletin boards were alive in 30 odd years ago, and everything we see today is a descendant of the bulletin board. It's become more sophisticated. There are wider audiences. There are better management tools. There are clearer focus groups. There are some of these things that aren't focused at all. But none of it could be happening if it wasn't the fact that things like Computex were going, I don't know when, 30 odd years ago.
So I don't know what, sorry to stop you, I don't know what Computex is. Was that a bulletin board?
Yeah.
Right. And a bulletin board was just basically a piece of a website, right? With some code that had responses from people and threads, right? So people had like a topic, and then there'd be loads of conversations around it, or what? Yeah.
Bit like a Facebook page, really, yeah. But you know, we started to mature this kind of stuff in about 98, and I was around at the time, and I was dabbling with it. But I think it first got the name, or it initially got the name, social media sometime in the early the early 2000s. In the 90s, when I was messing around developing things like LinkedIn that never made it, and some of the things that did make it, by the way, but you know, we didn't have a name for it. It was just son of bulletin board, really. So anyway, the question was, is it reaching a new level of maturity? And the answer is, in people's minds, it is maturing, I think. You know, right now, my daughter Lisa, who you know pretty well, and she's also involved in this, she's launched three new focus groups in the last 2 weeks. Wow. That are attracting loads of attention because she's focused on the needs of the moment, using tools that are already there, not inventing anything. Just basically, she's got a group that's focused on pets. She's got a group that's focused on gluten-free eating, and she's got a group that's focused on music in the lockdown. And that music in the lockdown page it hasn't gone to thousands in 2 or 3 days, but it's gone to hundreds in 2 or 3 days. People who are really interested in sharing the vibe and telling each other what their favorite music is, what uplifts them in these times of stress and strain. And yeah. Some people are going live on it as well. So, you know, all of this is really nothing to do with the technology and the maturing of it. It's to do with people's attitudes and the maturing of those. So the answer to your question is, yeah, social media is really important. It is maturing. It's not really only a technical issue, although a technological issue, although I think some new technology will emerge from it all, by the way. And you and I have been discussing some of that earlier, which is really all about adapting what exists. It's not about inventing new things. It's about adapting what exists to do the job. Maturity has been coming, and it's accelerating, if that's a straight enough answer to your question.
Yeah. So just if people don't really realise why they're listening to us and why they should listen to you. I mean, both of us have taught workshops around social media. And I personally have taught some workshops for delivery partners for some of the major technology vendors.
Yeah, me and, too.
And yeah, and I know you've also coached social media workshops for the actual technology vendors themselves. So, you know, those are a couple of reasons why people, and we've got a great podcast and we're kind of a bit fun and a bit quirky, right? You know, and sometimes I wear really funny clothes, yeah? And I put on funny hats and stuff, yeah?
Yeah, I'm wearing a shirt today. But I wear a shirt and you're wearing a shirt, so we're quite civilized.
And I've got a giraffe that my daughter painted me. And unfortunately, she's got on lockdown with her mother. So there we go. That's another story, right? So there's this quote that I saw you posted. You actually created this one-liner the other day. And I want to know what you mean by it, really, so we can delve into it. It's a good one. And you said, blessed are the community builders for... Yeah. They shall inherit the social sphere.
Yeah, a bit of a play on biblical words. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and all that stuff. Was that Sermon on the Mount? I think it probably was.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you and I know people who over time we've discussed the philosophy of social business to business. Social media is where we have our heart, really. And there's some well-known people in there who you and I both love and respect. And I remember saying to one of them, probably getting on for 10 years ago now, communities are where this thing's at. And you can argue that, you know, the word community is hackneyed, and that, you know, we all think we build a community when we have a Facebook presence and people follow us. But I mean, focus communities are the key. I mentioned my daughter earlier, Lisa. She's got a number of these groups. There are 20,000 people focused in her group on gluten-free eating globally. Wow. But that really is a community. She's got a page of West Highland Terrier fanatics who are 1,000 strong. And she's got this new music in the lockdown page, which is 300 or 400 strong, I think, already. And creating community is something that's been really important to me for the last decade, really. I operate a number of LinkedIn groups, as you're well aware, and LinkedIn groups have had their critics and still do have their critics. But in reality, the people who preside is a pompous word, but I can't think of a better word. The people who preside over the building of those communities are doing the whole world a great service. If it wasn't for the people who are building those communities, or at least hosting those communities, then we're all talking to the whole world, and we don't want to talk to the whole world. We want to talk to the people who are really interested,
right?
In the topics that they're interested in, and you know there are many, many, many. There are probably hundreds of thousands of people who host communities, and I think they a bit of self worth coming in here. I think they do the whole world a great service. So blessed are they.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for them, we'd have no order about social media. Communities are the index key to social media.
Yeah. So it's very relevant to account-based marketing. And people that are listening to this will know what account-based marketing is. And once you get the communities working with the influencers, working with the corporations, then you have very, very successful account-based marketing programs. As far as that's what I've proven the past week. Be doing 1 to 2 podcasts per day, and I'm scheduled in with some amazing guests the next few weeks, and the content has been fantastic, and the feedback from it has been absolutely superb. So those are the people that I'm trying to target. Because we're B2B, I focus on a very small target, and those people, I want them to enjoy the content. That's the most important thing. They have to enjoy the content. Yeah. And they have to realize that we really do know what we're doing. That's the bonus of having really real influencer marketing is account-based marketing, in my mind. And I was trying to come up with a book title for that, but we could talk about that later. But so maturing your social media action capabilities takes time and planning. And some of the companies and people listening to this may not have started. So if you haven't already started, where would you begin with this?
Well, I assume you're asking me that question from the point of view of a company. Mm-hmm. Now, every company is made up of individuals. And every individual, probably not everyone, but 99% of individuals have got LinkedIn profiles. They've got Facebook profiles. Some of them have got Twitter profiles. So we've got Instagram. I don't think WhatsApp counts in this context, to be frank, although lots of people I know would argue with that. But, I think things that are open to the world, for the world to see, for the world to be attracted to, are where I focus my attention. I think there are other things that come into that, but anything is to do with putting out the things about which you are interested is key. So, for instance, I got two Instagram accounts. I got one for skiing, and as you know, I'm very interested in that industry, and I got one for me, and I put stuff out on there that I think, well, it's pictorial. Instagram's all about pictures, and behind the pictures is some level of communication. I still find it a bit obfuscating about how you deal with direct messaging on Instagram, by the way, so I'm not that much of an expert. But, I use Instagram. Everyone's got a Facebook page. Everyone's got a Facebook presence. Big question is, do companies really benefit from in some way hijacking the personal profiles of individual people on Facebook? And I very much doubt that they do. To my mind, B2B has always majored on LinkedIn and Twitter. And I don't mean LinkedIn and Twitter necessarily separately either. I think LinkedIn is massively underrated. And by the way, deservedly so, because I think LinkedIn in many ways lets itself down. But there's no other place on earth that I can go to now with a very sophisticated search engine. And I don't mean like SEO. I mean like a search engine where I can go and pinpoint people now. There's no other social network on earth that can do that, because there are 500 million or something people on it. And if I want to know who's got an interest in Oracle or who's got an interest in IBM and who's already at the director level or the C level and they happen to live in Burnley, then I'm going to find it. I'm going to know. You can't do that on any other social platform. So I've always regarded LinkedIn, despite its shortcomings and despite its, it drives me mad sometimes, but it has the keys to the castle, to be frank. If it only knew how to use those keys properly, it would be much more well-respected than it is. And I've always regarded Twitter as the way to radiate that. I've always thought the right thing to do is to say what you want to say on LinkedIn and then tell the world on Twitter that you've said it. And whether you are a company or individual, in my opinion, that is the truth. So the question is, if you are a business and you're not yet up the maturity curve in terms of social media communication, you need to figure out what you've got as potentially latent assets. I think in a B2B context, you should figure out who's got a profile on LinkedIn, and for that matter, who hasn't. And if they haven't, you should be asking them serious questions why they haven't. Although you've got to recognize in the middle of all that LinkedIn is a recruiting ground as well as a business promotional ground. And you should teach them, you should figure out how to help them make those profiles better. That's not an easy task. That is not an easy task. Getting to the point where I was dealing with a major vendor, let's say that's 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And you know, you're pushing on an open door when you talk to 10% of the sales force, for instance. But the other 90% of the sales force, 6 or 7 years ago, just didn't want to know. And dealing with getting those people to a level where they understand the asset that they have individually and how to join those assets together on behalf of the business, to me, is a major goal, and it's a major task. I suspect what's happening right now with all this COVID-19 malarkey is going to make people realize even more than they already did, and in some cases, I've just said, a lot of them didn't, just how important that profile is. So I'd start with, I wouldn't ignore Facebook, and I wouldn't ignore Instagram at all, but I'd bring them here to a later point. I'd start with every employee who has a LinkedIn profile, start to get them to a point where they're acting with that profile on behalf of the company they work for. And then get them to a point where they've got some active Twitter activity going, and maybe even do that for them. And there are tools around which enable the aggregation of what someone said on their LinkedIn profile to be pushed out to the world by multiple Twitter accounts. So I'm rambling, but the to me, the key issue is start with what you've got. Next thing, and you and I had this conversation not more than half an hour ago, where's the traffic you want to, where are the people you want to find? Where are the people, where in which social network are they that are going to be interested in what you do or what you've got to say? And go focus on that social network. And when you find that social network, go and find the communities within it and focus on the communities. And when you and start that whole profile by figuring out who runs those communities and go make friends with the people who run those communities. You know, they all need encouragement and they all need some way of staying alive. And they really do, those community builders, those community owners really do hold the keys to the castle.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, I mean, I've noticed a huge spike actually recently, the past week, in the amount of people actually on LinkedIn and actually messaging me, commenting on video, and you know, and I think the more you engage with people, the better, really. But so obviously there are best practices to follow and this sort of stuff. And you know, from what you've said, training your people how to use social selling seems to be crucial. What's your view on that?
Well, I think social selling is a much maligned and overused and badly used phrase.
Me too.
There are some friends of ours who we, you know, people like Tim, who really do know what social selling is.
Yeah.
Tim Hughes, I'm talking about. But I suspect most of the people who talk about social selling don't really know what it's about. And there are people, some of our friends and associates are out there evangelizing it and doing a hell of a good job. But it's a hell of a world out there with hundreds of thousands of people in it. And, you know, coaching people in groups of 12 at a time is good, but it ain't going to convert the world overnight. As far as social selling is concerned, I think you've got to get to a position where your people are familiar with the platforms and the routines and the technologies that they are being involved in. So I'll go back to my comment there about LinkedIn and Twitter and the others. I'm not ignoring the others, but I'm just focusing for the minute on LinkedIn and Twitter. Make sure they're familiar and give them time to be familiar. You know, I remember ago, well, 7 or 8 years ago.
Sorry, Mike. You just broke up for about 5 seconds. But so can you just...
Okay. Okay. So what was the last thing you heard?
Just the importance of you literally just finished saying that you were going to focus on LinkedIn and Twitter, and you're going to come back to Instagram and Facebook. And yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about getting the social selling thing moving. And I've been singing the praises of the people like Tim who do that kind of thing. And you know, to some degree we all do that kind of thing, but there are people who really specialize in it, and he's one of them. Getting to the point where a business owner or a business unit manager or the CEO or whatever you want to call that leader understands the importance of this is can be quite tough. It's a number of years ago now, probably more than 5 or 6, when someone said to me, how much time should I let my people spend on social media as opposed to being on the phone? And I said, well, no, don't be daft. Why would you be able to be on the phone? You've got social media. You can't search the phone. How much time did you used to let them use Yellow Pages for when selling was in its, you know, find somebody in the building industry and go and sell them a building system? And the answer to the question is, you know, I would think 50 or 60% of the time needs to be spent on social media now, and the rest of the time needs to be spent doing more physical things like meeting people face to face. But the whole process of selling, the whole process of social selling, really is to use all the tools we now have to the best of your ability in order to engage the audience the audience, but then one by one in a social selling way. And throughout that process of spending 60 or 70% of your time, or whatever the number was I just said, you're learning about them. You know, you said to me in our last conversation an hour ago, you said, this guy looked at my LinkedIn profile. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, we let the guy know we've seen him, and we start to understand what that guy's about. We start to understand what his achievements are, where he is in the business. We see if we can find him on Twitter. We see if we can find him on Facebook. We get to know what his interests are. Yeah. It's easy for me. If I say to somebody, by the way, I noticed you're a keen skier, we're already into a conversation, which can then go on to business. And that's a bit like it used to be at the golf club, you know, walking into the golf club and saying, oh, Fred, how are you doing? How's business? Was often the opening line to something you wanted to sell him.
Right.
I'm going to have one of those horrible coughs in my mouth. Got a dry throat. Sorry, that's not COVID, I hope.
I should hope not.
I heard something the other day. It just reminded me of something. I heard something yesterday, I think it was, or maybe it was this morning. Whenever I hear the term COVID-19, I expect to hear Bolton Wanderers nil.
I remember you said that. I saw that yesterday.
I got a lot of sometimes not quite amusing response. Anyway, there we go. So basically, through social selling, you're building a familiarity with the person before you even get to the person. You don't throw what you know about him or her in their face. But you remember an influencer that we brought on just last month to do a job for one of the manufacturers that we deal with. And I said, oh, I'll go and find out about her. And I found out about her. And she was ill at the time. And I sent her a little note saying, I hope you're better soon. And, you know, I've never met her, but we have a relationship now of familiarity, simply because I noticed, I think on Facebook, that she was ill, even though we were dealing with her somewhere over here on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, so, you noticed it, and I didn't spot it. So it's because I was engaging with her in a conversation on LinkedIn where she hadn't mentioned that she was ill, yeah, or she'd had an accident, and you were engaging with her on a different platform where she'd mentioned that she. So it's like, it's quite interesting when you see the difference between one platform to another, yeah. Like just today, for example, like I posted
social selling is really important. Go on.
I posted a video, like I was in my car, I'd just been for a walk, and I posted that on Facebook, and on my private YouTube channel. But I wouldn't put that on Influential Visions, right, YouTube, and I wouldn't put it on LinkedIn, and I wouldn't put it on Twitter, because I'd rather keep my Facebook as being a bit more familiar and a bit more fun and upbeat. But that's how I personally run what I'm doing. Everybody's different in how they do everything, and it's really up to someone to give them some advice to help them make a decision as to how they post and where they post and what they post, right?
Okay. So basically, go and surround the person that you are looking to engage with socially. I'm talking about business to business now. Go and surround the person. Go and find out what his Facebook says, if you can. Go and see if you can find him on Instagram. See if you can find him on Pinterest. Find him on LinkedIn for sure. See if you can find him on Twitter. Start to understand what's coming out from this person. Maybe nothing's coming out from this person. I don't know. But basically, find out all about them before you start to engage. That's the first trick. Now, after that, it's a question of not rushing in. Like, I'm writing a blog at the moment, which we'll probably publish through Influential Visions, which is all about the offshoring, outsourcing scenario. You know, the world is full of people who want to develop stuff for me. Not many of them find out if I want stuff to be developed before they sell, give me a sales pitch. You know, the qualification process in the heads of these people is, will I engage with them on LinkedIn? Well, you know, I got 17,000 followers or something on LinkedIn, 17,000 connections on LinkedIn or something like that. My attitude on LinkedIn has always been, I'll engage with you. And there's a good reason for that, by the way, which is more than I'm a nice guy. Because if I engage with them, they engage with me, I'm second level to all their connections as well, which makes my reach enormous. Yeah. 17,000 direct connections with all the next level connections they've got, and the ability for me to message people if I want to do with my search criteria on Sales Navigator in this case, it gives me a second level reach of, I don't know what the number is, it's gazillions.
Yeah.
So that's why I do it, not because I think, well, this guy's trying to sell me some software from the Indian subcontinent and I must talk to him. The next thing that happens when I engage with him, in well over 50% of cases, I get a slam dunk. I do this, buy it, please. Can we have a telephone conversation?
Yeah.
I'd be on the phone all damn day if I responded to every one of them.
Yeah.
And I normally give them a response, which is, I'm glad to be connected with you, but you haven't even asked if I've got anything to be developed before you're telling me what you can do. So, you know, the whole process is naive in the extreme. And I'm blogging about it currently. It'll be a long blog, which I'll probably have to break up into episodes. But that whole way, people think that what you do is you get on LinkedIn, find people who you think might be interested in your stuff, and then you give them a sales pitch. Bang! It's like walking into a bar and starting a sales pitch with a flipboard on the counter. It's crazy. And these people they haven't got bad intent, just that they are stupid in the extreme to waste their time and waste my time doing what they do. they should be asking me the question, you know, I'm the main manager, the main administrator behind a group of what, software as a service now, 117,000 people or something. I'm the main manager on that. What they should be saying to me, they're saying to me, do you want any software developed for, and then comes the title, the software as a service group on LinkedIn. They've clearly automated it because it says software as a service on LinkedIn. And I go back and say, do you know what a LinkedIn is? Do you know what a LinkedIn group is? Why would I want to be developing software? I might have 50,000 people who do, by the way, but you're not asking me that question. You're trying to thrust me down a pipe that says, you've decided that I should buy your stuff. And right now you're pissing me off in a big way. And I don't unfollow them. I just give them a slight backhander and tell them to go away. You know, one of those backhanders, go away. Yeah. Come back when you've learned how to do your thing. So a lot of people are in on this social selling thing. You haven't got the faintest idea what it really means. What they should be doing is figuring out what I am, figuring out who I influence, figuring out what business interests I've got, and saying, oh, by the way, on your Influential Visions podcast, do you need some kind of audience monitoring device? Because we do those. That's what they should be doing. Not saying, wham, bam, thank you, man. Why don't you buy my stuff? It's crazy. That's me having a rant. So
I echo that completely, like literally. It happens to me every week, yeah?
It's happening to me 8 times a day at the moment.
Now. Wow.
Literally 8 times a day.
Do you know what's funny, though, is what made me smile the other day is this. So I connected with this lady before. So I sent her a request. She connected with me. Before she accepted it, she said, I don't want to buy whatever you're selling. I don't want to buy it. I don't need it. And that was her first message to me. Yeah. So I asked her to connect with me. And then before she accepted it, she said, whatever you're selling, I don't want to buy it. I said, hold on a minute. We deal with big corporations. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Yeah. And she accepted my request straight away and we became friends. Right. Yeah, but like that, you know, that's one option. That's one way you could potentially do it, but it depends. It's a funny old game that it really.
Yeah. But I think the key is going to the question about social selling. Start with what you've got. Use your brains in the same way you always did when you were selling, you know, typewriters on the high street, if you're that old, and figure out who's got a need for a typewriter, not simply to tell every passerby they need a typewriter. Figure out where the need is, go and serve the need, do all the research you can. There's more research available through the social business networks than there ever was. Find out who you're selling to, find out what their interests are, find out what makes them tick. Find out if they're married. Find out if they've got a family. Find out as much as you can. And then go on up with a conversation with them, not in an obsequious way, in an intelligent way. Open a conversation and somewhere down the track say, by the way, I'm interested in you selling you some stuff. Are you interested? And this is what I do and I think you might want it too. You know, it's a pretty pretty rudimentary way to put it, but that's what social selling has always been to me.
Yeah. What I'm really enjoying is actually the strategic placement of content. That's something that fits into this really well. And, you know, I think I'm writing a blog around that actually at the moment, around how people just post content and they basically post company content and how that actually has damaged the whole thing for businesses, yeah? Because a few years ago, that was the history. When people decided they're going to jump on social media, then the marketing manager said, right, you need to be on social media. Go and sell this stuff. Go and promote this stuff. And then they started promoting all this company content without building relationships. And that was the biggest problem that existed in the beginning. But obviously, we've kind of come around from there. And we've come to the point where people are like, right now they're very worried. You know, you've got big, big, big security vendors who are saying, no, sorry, you're not posting anything right now. Don't engage with anyone about anything publicly at all because of the situation where we're at right now. So I think it's a very, very strategic play right now for the medium to long-term security of the business. And the mistakes that can be made can be very, very big, really.
One of the I hadn't really heard the word content in a meaningful way until 23 or 24 years ago. I mean, I'm sure it was used in the media quite a lot, but I never really understood what content was. And I went to see a very charming lady who was the marketing director of a company which is now part of IBM. You notice I'm shearing well away. I did mention a name a little while ago. I'm shearing well away from mentioning any of the vendors' names. I mentioned IBM, but this isn't IBM. Anyway, it's a company, was a company that's now part of IBM, a big part of IBM. And she said, content is king. And I was, you've got to give me content, Mike. Well, what's that? I don't understand what that is. So I thought I'd go and figure out what she really meant. She was a true blue marketeer, and I was a homegrown marketeer. Anyway, Game of Thrones is what content was. I thought, well, that's not true. Content isn't king. Context is king. Content's the prince. Context is king. If you present anything to someone out of context, you're wasting your damn time. So if you don't get the context right for something that you're going to present, content's valuable, but in the wrong place, at the wrong time, in the wrong hands, it's just a waste of time and money. So context, that's one of my epithets of the last 25 years, really. Context is king. Content's important, but context is king.
You're always telling me that. And you're right. Because if you don't give them context, they're just like, well, what's this guy talk? What's this lady talking about?
Yeah,
it's completely irrelevant, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it can be. So it's really important in social selling to get the context right. If I'm going to talk to you initially about your golf or your ski or your football preferences, I've got to know what I'm talking about. If I'm gonna start to engage with somebody on the matter of an ultra keen snooker player, I'm a lousy snooker player. I've probably played it badly 10 times in my whole life. I'm not gonna talk to him on that basis. I've only got no authority. Skiing, I've got some authority. Golf, I used to have, don't have anymore. Football, you know, I'm a bit partisan being a Burnley supporter, but the reality is, if you're gonna have a conversation with somebody that's gonna be meaningful, it's got to be meaningful for you and it's got to be meaningful for him or her. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah.
Or you are not going to gain the respect. If somebody says to me, I'm not too sure into skiing, Mike. What are you thinking about next season? And I can talk to him quite authoritatively about what I think the options are for going to North America or, you know, going to the Alps or going off to Eastern Europe or whatever it might be. I can speak with some authority. So don't, when you're social selling, don't get yourself into water where you're not going to be able to swim.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're going to look like an idiot.
Well, not only look like an idiot, you are, but you're going to lose at the first fence. You're going to fall at the first fence. What you've got to do is, you know, if you went into a bar right now and you knew there was a guy in the bar who wanted to buy some stuff from you, you wouldn't go and walk up to him and say, "Hey, I understand you want to buy some stuff." you'd say, "Hello, how are you doing? You know, how are you doing?" And I hear you're a big knob at the golf club, and you'd do that first, wouldn't you? And that's what people in the social sphere fail to do.
Yeah.
And you know, social selling is really about surrounding the person, not aggressively, but surrounding them in the sense that you understand everything that you possibly can that means something to them and what they are focused on and what matters to them, and then take it from there.
Yeah. And think about these endorphins that we're giving people every time we like something, every time we comment on something, every time we favorite something that they've put out there.
Yeah.
You know, or we engage in a meaningful way with that. That gives them endorphins, and those are feel good hormones, right? And you know, that benefits their brain. So eventually, they're going to talk to you. But you can also do that with content. If the content is really good, and you've already made contact with them, you need to take it easy. You know, you don't need to hard sell anymore. Like, hard selling is, unfortunately, people have come from hard sales backgrounds, or they've been trained by someone that knows about push selling, and then they've come into social media and said, right, you need to go and push these people to buy this, but you don't even know what they want. So my mind, it's about solutions. That's my mind. It's like, you see where their company's going, you know probably more about their company than they do, because you've been working with that company for maybe 25 years or 20 years, or your network has. And you turn around and you just watch it, and you know exactly what they need before they even know it. But you don't push them onto that. You try and help them to become better at what they do. You have to, my mind, you have to want to leave that person with a better life than before you met them. That's my intention with everybody. Yeah. And I think if you walk into any relationship like that, even if you sell them something or you don't, at least you're going to be improving their life. That's how I look at the business, really, and life. you know.
Well, one of the most important things about social media that was ever spoken to me is that you're not only trying to influence the person that you're in contact with, you're really reaching beyond them to their own, to their network. You know, if they think you're okay, but they don't want to buy your stuff or don't want to buy your service or whatever, as long as they think you're okay, next time someone says, do you know anyone who can handle a podcast for me? They go, say, oh, I know a guy who does podcasts. And there you go. There you go. So, you know, it's because they like helping people as well. So the whole thing about social isn't simply the first level of connections. It's all about the next level of connections too, and making the best impression you can on the largest network you can on a one-to-one basis gives you the added value of all of their one-to-ones as well. So, you know, I'm not sure I've given a really concise answer as to, you know, where you start if you haven't started. But I think the key issue is start with what you've got. Build from what you've got. Don't regard a no as a forever no. But leave everything in a state where it's still a healthy part of your network so that later on benefits might come from it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, Mike. I think that's been absolutely fantastic. And I'll drop some resources in the bottom of this. I've got a really good blog about affinity propagation. That's just what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's about taking a message and pushing that message out to the right people who then share that message. And that's affinity propagation. So yeah, I'll find that and drop that in the resources somewhere. If anyone wants it, and you don't see it, if you're listening on a platform, you can't find it, please message me and I'll happily drop that to you. But thank you. And I really appreciate your time.
And you. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.